It's good to be with you this morning. And let's ask the Lord to bless our time in prayer before we have a third reading. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we come before thy presence on this Lord's Day morning, and we thank thee for Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank thee, O Lord, that he came to us to die for us while we were yet sinners and when we were without strength. O Lord, there was no work of ours, no merit, nothing which could have made us to deserve such great a salvation. It is all by grace because of the complete and finished work of your Son. Lord, help us day by day to appreciate what Christ has done for us. We thank thee, O Lord, that his sacrifice cannot be repeated, reenacted. It was complete once and for all. His effects are eternal. And O Lord, we pray thee that thou wouldst lead us as we read thy word and we learn precious lessons from its pages. Dispel the distractions and concerns and worries of the past week and of the coming week, however legitimate they may be. May we focus on Christ. And may he become more and more precious day by day. And this we ask, O Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to ask you kindly to open your Bibles in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 33. Could I have a glass of water, please? I ran on water. The second book of Chronicles, chapter 33, and we shall read the whole chapter. I like a church without several readings. It's instructive. Chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles, we read the following. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Baalim, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also observed times, and used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with the familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God has said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Thank you. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and he heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem and into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed their own peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and his prayer unto his God, and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sin, and his trespass, and the places wherein he built high places, and he set up groves and graven image, before he was humbled, behold, they are written among the saying of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his house. And Amon his son reigned in his stead. And Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh's father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him, and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, as Pastor Fitzpatrick mentioned, I'm Sicilian, not Italian. Sicily was invaded by the Italians, we say. I was born in... my parents were Roman Catholic when I was born, and I was christened as a child. But my parents came to saving knowledge of Christ when I was 2 years old. And then they... it's a long story, I'm going to cut it very short. They were missionaries for a while in Palermo, the capital of Sicily, which is about 1 million people. And for many years, we were the only Reformed church, Baptist church, in the town. So I know I can share the same feeling. I can understand this setup. We actually, your building is much better than ours. House was a former coffin factories, so you can imagine the stigma to go to worship in a coffin factory. But I would like to ask you kindly, my friends, to look at we're looking today at the conversion of Manasseh. You see, I was the son of a pastor, and I was a good boy on Sunday, but the devil Monday to Saturday. And to my shame, not to my pride, the son of a pastor, and I was a good boy on Sunday, couldn't escape. We lived above the place that we worshipped. So my mother, you know, we had no chance to miss a service. And the Lord did call me to salvation when I was a teenager. I was a very rebellious teenager. And I did a lot to cause a lot of problems to my parents. And of course, I had to battle my parents, Protestants, and the rest of the family, strong, traditional Roman Catholic. So I was battling on two fronts. So I had really a bit of a tough time. But let's look at the conversion of the situation here with Manasseh. Manasseh is... probably the king of Judah who reigned the longest. He reigned for 50, 5 years. Long reign. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about how long Queen Elizabeth reigned in England, because this is Ireland. So, you know, for you it means very little. This is, we are no queen anymore. I come from, my grandparents were royalists. My grandfather used to say the Italian Republic is at the front door outside. This is still the Kingdom of Italy. That's what he would say. But Manasseh reigned for 55 years. Try to imagine how the length, this length of time. He was the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. His father was a bad king. And Hezekiah did do work for the Lord. And here we have something interesting. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. It's very important to understand how we bring up children. Because he was 12 years old. What kind of example did Manasseh follow? Who were his advisors? Who were his instructors? He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. It's interesting because usually in the book the Old Testament, we are told something about the mother. There's no mention of mother there. So it's interesting. We don't know who influenced them. So we have starting with a bad point. He did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. But there is another thing here. This relapse into idolatry. Didn't he do evil like Herb? He didn't do evil like his grandfather, who was a bad king. No. He did evil like unto the abominations of the heathen. You see, if you look carefully, my friends, in Israel, when they departed from the ways of the Lord, they worshipped Jehovah, or Yahweh, which were a pronunciation you wish to adopt, but they added the other deities. It was a kind of pluralistic, multi-faith religion. And here we have Manasseh going to what was completely outside of what the others had done. He like unto the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He's adopting the religion of the enemies of Israel, the religion of those who God chastised, punished, and destroyed because of their abominations. Sometimes people ask us, the God of the Old Testament is a cruel God. Now we're going to look at something probably which will shock. I'm very glad the children are very little and I can say things I may not understand. There was a relapse into idolatry. Let's look at verse 3. For he built again the high places. Try to imagine, my friend, the father destroyed everything which his grandfather built, and the grandson rebuilds. He built again the high places. He built again the high places that which Hezekiah, his father, had broken down. The return of idolatry. He worshipped all the host of heaven. Even worse, he built the altars into the house of the Lord. No king before him built the altars into the house of the Lord. He actually brought paganism into the very temple of God. This is a warning, my friends. We could be guilty if we are not in the Word of God if we're not careful in our study of the Word of God, we could bring false gods into the house of the Lord. Manasseh has seen a good example of his father. Manasseh was not ignorant of the teaching of the scriptures. Manasseh had witnessed a revival. Not a big one, it meant a revival, a true religion. And yet, he brought paganism back. And he brought it into the very house of the Lord. So there is here, we have this rebellion. The rebellion of Manasseh. And he goes from bad to worse. He built the altars in the house of the Lord. And especially when it says in verse 4, whereof the Lord has said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. God claims exclusivity. He does not share his glory with anybody else. So if you're accused of being bigoted, awkward, and difficult because you claim that you have the true religion because it's Bible-based, you are not awkward, bigoted. You're a child of God. And it's not being awkward and bigoted, it's to be truthful. You're not intolerant towards others. You're intolerant towards lies. It's a difference. You're not intolerant towards others. You're intolerant towards the lies. And here we have the Manasseh rebellion, and it goes even worse. What time do I need to finish?
2 o'clock.
Okay, that's fine. I won't keep you till 2 o'clock. But here we have the, if the coffee goes on, I could carry on till 2 o'clock. But there is an interesting aspect here. The chronicler here give a more specific, detailed description of the kind of idolatry. Very often we read the kind of idolatry and we just say, oh yes, it's all idolatry. And let me give you a little bit of details about this kind of idolatry, which will make you understand why the Lord destroys people. Because, my friends, you will do the same. You will do the same. He built the altars in the courts of the house of the Lord, and then he practiced in verse 6, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He did practice human sacrifice. Now, they haven't found anything like that in Israel, but in Sicily, outside Sicily, we have a little island. And some archaeologists dug an interesting shrine. And there he is in the little island of Mozia, a little thing outside Sicily. There is this shrine which has got a trench, an altar, on which the god Hinnom or Tolet, Moloch, was a half bull, half human, bronze statue with hands stretch out like that, sliding, going downwards, in a trench. And they used to have a fire going on in the trench. And the mothers were to put the firstborn child into the hands of this bronze statue, which would be hot like anything. And they had to sing praises to the idol as the child would roll down into the flames. Not only that, worse still, now you just get shot for this. Worse still, they used to have slaves whose only purpose was to produce children to offer as a sacrifice. Are we surprised the anger of God against these kind of practices? Did you know about this? Now sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes we think, oh, but God is intolerant. The Lord God of Israel was intolerant. You know, why did he command the destruction? They were basically killing children by the hundreds. So this is to give a cause the children to go through the fire. He provoked the Lord to anger. And the Lord is a merciful God. To provoke the Lord to anger is a serious thing. He observed times. He used enchantments. He used witchcraft. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret about my family. I didn't choose my parents. I told Pastor that if I could have chosen my parents, I would have applied for different sets of families. But, you know, one side is the mafia. The other side is impoverished aristocratic family. We have monks and priests everywhere. But all my great aunts, including my grandmother, were witches. Beautiful ladies, no, don't get me wrong. Beautiful ladies. But they practiced witchcraft. In our family, the occult was practiced. So Sunday morning, we'll go to Mass. And Sunday afternoon, they will do tarots and all sorts of things. And I did witness some interesting happenings. I'm not superstitious. Let me tell you that. My grandmother had a familiar spirit. She will talk to the familiar spirit. And she's not a ventriloquist. And that there will be a voice answering her. Now, we are Reformed Baptists. We are not superstitious. But we do believe that there is something called the devil. And we do believe there is something called occult. And we do believe that Satan is active. We're not going to be sidetracked by the occult. We're not fascinated by it. We are not to play with the fire. We're not going to become superstitious. But we are aware that there is such a thing as occult and as devilish thing. And it is dreadful and is something which the Lord condemns. So here we have. Not only Manasseh provoked the Lord by idolatry, he provoked the Lord by adding to idolatry. And idolatry, after all, is witchcraft. All the rituals in idolatry are based on the occult. This is why the psalmist, it's interesting, the psalmist gives a description concerning idols. It's because what we ascribe to the idols. But the psalmist says in Psalm 115, they're talking about the idols of men, the idols of silver and gold, 115 verse 4, the work of men's hand. They have mouth, but they speak not. Psalm 115 from verse 4. Am I too fast? Do you want me to slow down? I don't speak Portuguese. No, but if you want an Italian version, I can do dual. That's fine. Psalm 115, versetto 4. The idols are silver and gold. Idoli sono argento e oro, the works of hands, men, l'opera delle mani degli uomini. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throats. They that made them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusted in them. They are dead. Idols are dead things. Useless. And so here we have a man who provokes the Lord to anger. He's determined, he's bent to do it. There's nothing worse, my friend, when a person who has known the truth is bent to provoke the Lord to anger. You can understand. You can understand people who don't know better. But this is a person who has seen the work of God in the family, who has seen the work of God in his father, who has seen the work of God in his people. He brought much evil, and he also, we're told, he shed blood in the kingdom. He was a murderer. He was a murderer. Tradition tells us that Manasseh killed the prophet Isaiah. Had him cut him too, saw him too. So he was a terrible king. 55 years. It's a long time. So there is rebellion. But the Lord in his mercy does not stop. He sent a rebuke. Rebuke the people. Manasseh calls the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err. What a terrible responsibility. To not only to provoke the Lord, not only to add to paganism or the occult, but also to cause others to err. To lead others into error. To cause others to disobey the Lord. This is a warning to us, my friends, as believers. How do we walk? And are we rebelling to the Lord? Now you may say to me, Marco, I didn't set any idols here. I don't think the pastor will let you. But there are attitudes of the heart. Things which are unscriptural. There are ways we behave which we could lead others to hurt. We have to walk circumspectly, carefully, examining ourselves. Here we have, because this is all unchecked, but the Lord in his mercy warned them. In verse 10, the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Why? They were used to it. All this pagan religion, all this pluralistic religion, you see, they worship in the temple, and they worship the stars, the queen of heaven, and we're all not going to use enchantments. It was a pluralistic nation, it was a multi-faith kingdom. Modern terminology, that will happen to Judah. It was a multi-faith kingdom. Everything was tolerated. Everything was accepted. So you see, this chapter is relevant to us as well, because we live in a world, in a Western world, where we are told we are to be tolerant. We are to accept. We have to, there are so many ways to go to God. It doesn't matter if you are Muslim, or Christian, Protestant, Catholic, if you are a Wicca member of a cult, you get to God. There's only one way to God. And so, the Lord sent his prophets to warn these people, but his people will not hearken because they enjoy sin. There's nothing worse, my friends, when people enjoy sin. There's no fear of God. There is no desire to hear the truth. You know, the Apostle Paul, if you remember in 2 Timothy, just I quote scriptures. Not too much. I want to keep you long, but in 2 Timothy 3, we are warned about the perilous times. 2 Timothy 3. There's no, also then the last time, perilous times shall come. The men shall be lovers of their own selves. There's a long list of warnings, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and holy, disobedient without natural affection, and so on and so forth. These are the features of our society, but they are the feature of the natural man having a form of godliness. This is the point. In a multi-faith society, people love to have a form of godliness. He's a good man. Doesn't know the truth. He's a good man. He prays to the saints, he's a good man. He prays to Allah, he's a good man. He prays to Mary, he's a good man. He's a decent person. He's a lost man. My friends, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God unconverted, because God is a fair consuming fire. And I don't say that lightly. I love my family, my greater family, and I lost all my grandparents unsaved to Roman Catholicism. And it hurts. Probably you know what I mean. Maybe not enough. They don't understand that sometimes. But this is a terrible thing. The Lord warned them, but they would not listen. You know, when the Lord warns us and we don't listen, we have to face the consequences. Manasseh will not listen. The people of God will not listen. Beware, my friends, when you receive the word of God, when it's preached, when you read it, and there is something you need to obey, and you don't listen. Because there are consequences when we don't listen. And this is what happened. Wherefore the Lord, in verse 11, brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. Terrible thing. Manasseh was so boastful. His kingdom was so stable. He had no interferences. He trusted in all the deities and all the gods of the nations, which were the superpowers of the day. Because there was the belief, if I worship the same God, I will be protected. I'll be part of the system. This is what sometimes we have to be careful. We could be tempted to do the same thing like the others. We want to be like the others. Now, my children, I have four children. And they often come to me and say things. And when they were little, they wanted to do things because all their friends did it. And my answer was very simple. They are not my children. You are. And you don't do what they do. And it may sound cruel, because you want to, as a parent, you want to help, but sometimes you have to refrain them. And here we have, my friends, the consequences of the rebellion. Manasseh was humbled. He was humiliated, pardon me. He was humiliated, he was put down. A lot of pegs down, the English expression. Because he had to learn the hard way. Some people only learn the hard way. Sad, but they have to learn the hard way. Now, I don't want you to, personally, I want to tell you this, my friend. If you're in a state of rebellion, I don't know your heart. You see, I told you before, I was an angel on Sunday. I was in church. I sang the hymns. I read my Bible. But Monday to Saturday, I was the devil in disguise. I'm not proud of it. But the consequences of my rebellion, of my outward, of looking in the outward as a Christian, but not being one, was a serious consequence. So here we have, the Lord brought me. I defy God. I decided one day I was going to kill myself, and I said, "You God, you cannot stop me. You are not going to stop me." And I did it twice the same day. So I was very determined to do it, you know. And I was told the Lord, "You cannot stop me." I don't say this kind of testimony in front of too many people because I don't want to encourage people to do the wrong thing. But you are quite mature and understand what I'm trying to get. So here the consequences is, he was humiliated. He had to put down. He was warned. He was defeated. He defied the Lord Almighty. He calls his anger. He has to face the music. He has to face the consequence of rebellion. My friend, it's a terrible thing when we rebel against the Lord. And let me tell you, it starts with little things. A rebellion against God starts always with little things. Don't you imagine that this 12-year-old king started to have the big idols put in the temple of God the first day he became a king. He took his time. He started little by little. And we can start that in our hearts, little by little. I don't usually shout, but the reason I try to be heard, because when I start preaching, I was very softly spoken. So, don't get me wrong, I don't try to. So, Manasseh is described as being hooked in 2 Kings. He had a hook in his nose, very humiliating, like an animal. So, I was brought down. But there's an interesting thing. And when he was in affliction, sometimes the Lord has to use affliction. Sometimes the Lord has to make us go through the difficult times. Sometimes the Lord has to let us, in Sicily we have the expression, hit the wall. I don't know if you have the same kind of expression. And so anyone when he was in affliction, that's what people that when they are afflicted, they shake their fist against God. But sometimes affliction is used by God to make us seek Him. Sometimes, my friend, why all this happened? You see, now Manasseh is in prison, and the wizards cannot help him. The magicians cannot help him. The familiar spirit cannot help him. The queen of heaven cannot help him. The stars of heaven cannot. Nothing can help him. No magic can help him. Now he's in prison. And he's in affliction. He's humiliated. And he besought the Lord his God. Oh, when we go to the Lord, there are people who claim to be converted. If you're a Christian, pray this prayer, sign on the dotted line, and you're a Christian. If that was true, my friends, half of the population in the English-speaking world would be Christian. But it's not true. There's no repentance. There's no beseeching. There are people who are not told that when they sin, they actually offend God. Here we have Manasseh, he brought to realize he has offended the three times only God. He has caused him to anger, and he has to beseech him, he besought the Lord his God. Now listen carefully. He has no other. The Lord is God. He acknowledges that there is only one true God. Humbled himself before him greatly. Before the God of his father. I am nothing, Lord. I have sinned against thee, Lord. I have offended thee, Lord. There is true repentance when the first thing we need to do is admit that we have offended God. Not I've done something wrong. I have offended God. Sin is not something wrong, just something wrong. It's an offense against God. Sometimes people today, they preach a gospel in which sin is just almost like a mistake. It is almost as if the sin is when I drive, and instead of turning left, I turn right. I do drive on the right side of the road still. That's not what he meant. Sin is a terrible thing. It's the breaking of God's law, and he offends God. It's important that we do that with Matt. So he prayed unto the Lord, and he was entreated of him, and he heard his supplication. There is something when Manasseh was defeated, when Manasseh was humble, when he realized there are no other way. You know, I was, you know, when I realized that I had no other way, I cried. Now, men in Sicily are told one thing: we never cry. Men do not cry. Ladies, you are free to cry. Nothing wrong with you crying. But don't label me as a sexist because I don't know. You have the liberty to cry. Men in Sicily, we don't cry. We have no mean time for tears. We're not supposed to. Especially in my generation, we're brought up that way. But here I cry. Because I realized what I was trying to do. I was going to destroy what God had created. And it was not my province to do away with my own life. And so here we have the illustration. The Lord, he humbled himself greatly before the God of his father. He prayed and trembled. It's interesting because when we seek the Lord, we pray. We seek him. We talk to him. We beseech him. And the Lord heard his supplication. Oh, when the Lord hears his supplication of the repentant man, woman, who are truly repentant. When do you know that the Lord has heard your supplication? I don't know you. I know this is my first time here. I don't know if you experienced your testimony. You may have times of backsliding. I did have time of backsliding as well. I'm not proud of it. I was a young teen, and sure, there were times when my Christian life was spread out, rocketing up and down. And back to square one, go back to the Lord, entreat him, supplication, beseech him, humble yourself before the Lord. And the Lord restored him. The beautiful thing about the Lord is it does not reject those who truly repent, because true repentance is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not a feeling. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so Manasseh was brought back to his kingdom. Maybe the king of Babylon needed to put him back because he needed a vassal king. That's what they used to do. But we must never dismiss that the opportunity and the politics of a foreign king were instrumental in God's plan. And then this is the beautiful thing in verse 13, the end of verse 13. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Do you know the Lord as God? He's not the God of his father. It's not his dad religion. It's not the religion of his people. It is God. It's God. He knew because he experienced. You see, one of the interesting aspects of the Christian religion is that we have a truth which is revealed in the scriptures, and we know God through the scriptures and through the fact that the Holy Spirit works. In the, you know, reveal makes the scripture to us alive. We understand because of the Holy Spirit in us. But we know God experientially, day by day. Probably if you look for a moment at other religions and ask how do they know God, you know, people who are in the religion of works have no peace with God. They don't know God. They have no assurance of God. We are in a Roman Catholic country. I come from a Roman Catholic country. What is the main problem in Roman Catholicism? They have no peace with God. They try everything. Works and everything. So here, there is an interesting aspect. Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. What a beautiful reality. Sad that he realized very late in his life. Sad that he had to go through all these difficulties, that he had to go through this rebellion, that he had to go through all this sin to finally realize. Had he known when he was 12, he would have avoided it. But that was the plan of God. Again, the Lord allowed this for his plan. But we believe in the sovereignty of God. And he became a new king. And it was interesting. When the Lord changed his life, Manasseh, although he was old now, we're talking he was not a young man anymore, he started rebuilding the city. He built a wall without the city. He took away the strange gods. What are the sign of a true conversion? You get rid of everything which was connected with the sinful past. You don't keep anything which is connected with the past of your sin. We used to work in our church, just to give an example, was in a very run-down area of Palermo, a ghetto. And one of the highest problems in our area was alcoholism. People were drunk at 10 o'clock in the morning. Children were drunk. So in our church, and I don't know your position on Sicilian people, were different. In our church, no wine was used, even the Lord's Day, because we knew the very moment somebody tasted the wine, he would have a desire to drink wine, to go down the tavern and get drunk. And people were converted. They had to completely get rid of every connection with their past. And it was difficult. In our society, it was difficult. We were working in an area where criminals, talking about mafia-ruled areas, I can tell you a story, and they had to get rid of all their connections. And sometimes they have to leave the town. Here we have Manasseh. You see, Manasseh is restoring. He take away the strange gods and the idol of the house of the Lord and all the altars he built. He's going to get clean up. And then he repair the altar of the Lord and sacrifice peace offerings and thankful offerings upon it. Now let me ask you this question. Do you have anything which belongs to your sinful past, which attracts you? Because we're not perfect. Are we tempted to go back? Now, sometimes I want to give you a warning. Never talk about your unconverted days as the good old days. My unconverted days were not good days. They were not the good old days. They were bad days. They were bad days. Now, I wasn't a criminal. I tell you, don't misunderstand me. I had top grades at school. I was very high flyer academic. But my lifestyle was not good. So here we are. The victory, when God changes a man or a woman, he makes him into a new creature. Now, indeed, the story of Manasseh gives us a very interesting account of Manasseh gives us a very interesting insight that when a man or a woman is elect to salvation. Now, we are Calvinists here.
Amen.
Good. When a man or a woman is elect to salvation, no matter what kind of walk of life, and thank God, does not depend on a walk of life. Because none of us will be saved. When the Lord has appointed a man or a woman to salvation, whatever in his life they have done, he'll save and save to the uttermost. That should be a great comfort. So when we evangelize, I'm going a little sidetrack. And we who believe in the doctrines of grace, you know, beautiful things, we who believe in the doctrines of grace, we don't need to convince men and women to buy into Jesus. Now, when I preach the gospel, I know the Lord will call people to salvation. Because his word never comes back empty. Never. May not happen today. Let me give you an example. 5 minutes? Got 5 minutes to give it? Let me give you an example. I evangelized when I was a young man. I did the crazy thing of starting to go to evangelize drug addicts. And in the square. Now, we never took girls with us from our church. Only boys went out. Because we had to go at 1 o'clock in the morning. Because it was dangerous. So here we are. We go and talk to these people. We start sharing the gospel. I give this tract to this man, which was under the effect of heroin. And you thought at first, what a waste of time. Giving a leaflet to someone who's so drugged up, he does not even understand what you're talking about. So he took the tract, put it in his pocket. 6 months later, this man turns up at the church. His life, a complete mess. His family involved in the mafia. His sisters, prostitutes. Shall I give you a list? Sin was, if we talk about where sin abounds, grace overabounds. And this man came to semi-knowledge of Christ. He is now a preacher. Another man, he used to run the racket protection. He couldn't read or write. One day he turns up to the church, like entered the building from there, listened to the sermon my father was preaching. Somebody gave him a Gospel of John. He cannot read. He comes to me and says, could you read it to me? So I read it to him. Every day, my job was to read the Gospel of John to Vincent. Because Vincent couldn't read or write. And Vincent is no Armenian now. I'll tell you right now. Vincent was converted. He went to every shop. He used to extortion money, begging for forgiveness and telling them, that's Sicily. This is a different world. If you want to report me to the police, I will face the consequence of my crime. This is a conversion. You see, the Lord, when you are changed, when the Lord converts people, when the sovereign grace works in the heart, it changes people. And that is our trust, my friends, when we go out and evangelize. When we preach the gospel. Sometimes you may feel we are a small number. You know, I know what you feel. You may be surrounded by so many churches. They're all preaching a different gospel than what we stand for. Some of them are bad, some are better than a little bit better. And sometimes we feel isolated. I'm a Reformed Baptist from Sicily, the only church in the town. I could sympathize with you very well. But remember one thing, when you stand faithful, you're not called to be successful. You and I are called to be faithful, and the Lord will work. And this is what happened in our church there in Sicily. And here, let me come back to the test. I gave you a little bit of testimony. There is a restoration of the world problem still. Nevertheless, in verse 17, the people did sacrifice still in their high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. There were still problems. Because, of course, the people have now departed so much from the Lord, but he tried to do it. He did what he was supposed to do. Thy son did not learn the lesson. He dies, Ammon becomes the king, and he starts again the idolatry. That gives an important, and he gets killed. And I'm going to summarize here very briefly. That gives a very important lesson. We cannot inherit Christianity. See, you need to pray, if I may encourage you, for the little ones and the one who are about to arrive. You need to pray for the little ones. the world they're going to face is not going to be an easy world. Things are not going to be better. They're going to be worse. Sorry, I dashed your hopes in a better world. But it's a sinful world. We need to pray for the younger generations. We need to pray that the Lord will work in their hearts. That they will not simply trust that because mom and dad or grandparents are Christians. It's a privilege to have Christian grandparents. I've never had them. We need to pray that they will look unto Christ and be saved. Now, concluding. And I really want to conclude. When we have... This lesson shows an interesting thing. The first thing is the danger of religious pluralism. The danger of religious pluralism. When we have a society in which every religion is equal like the others, we have consequently the decline, the spiritual decline and the moral decline of a society. And we are witnessing it today. Values, whoever believed that Italy and Ireland would have... No, leave England for the time being. Let's ignore England. Roman Catholic Italy and Ireland would have same-sex marriage. Who would have ever thought that? Who, since when? Who would have thought of abortions becoming so easy? Well, abortion is the same sin of bringing... and human sacrifice. So because religious pluralism is spiritual declension, we have the truth, the scriptures, and people don't know the scriptures. If you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, Christ is the only truth. We need to present Christ as the only truth. Hard, demanding, true. Now, if I were a doctor, and I told you I had the cure for cancer, and I didn't want to tell you, what would you do? What would you do? I got the cure for cancer, but I'm not going to share it with you. You'll sue me. So why are we not sharing the gospel? Because we are responsible for making the gospel known. We are accountable. So we have to tell them the truth. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. I'm not asking you to go around and offend people. I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, to make the gospel known, the true gospel, because they need it. And the other lesson we learn is the failure of learning from the past. Manasseh did not learn anything from the past. Are we ignoring the errors of the past? Are we ignoring the blessings of God in the past? Are we taking them so much for granted that we don't need to obey anymore? This is the problem. This is a problem. And there is another question. The failure to learn that we need to pray. Manasseh was humbled in a way, forced to pray. Do we pray? Do we devote time in prayer? Because this is an aspect of the Christian life. That is one of the problems we have many in many places. I was listening to a friend of mine who's a minister. They were doing a statistic that so many missionaries in America, they're so busy doing mission work, they don't pray. And when you do mission work, you don't pray, you go nowhere. So the place of prayer. And this is very important, that we have a time where we give thanks to the Lord, and time when we humble ourselves before the Lord and ask Him to search our hearts. Search me, O Lord. And I tell you, my friends, when you ask the Lord to search your heart, He will open things to your eyes and then you will be accountable and you have to be responsible. But a blessing after that, my friend, is that when we deal, the Lord deals with us, with hidden sin, secret sin, it prevents us from becoming Manasseh. It prevents us from becoming Manasseh. Because we could become Manasseh. We could rebel. We may be the cause of all this to sin. Let's conclude in prayer. Almighty God, we come before you, thy throne of grace, and we thank thee for Christ. Help us, O Lord, not to rebel against thee, not to provoke thee to anger. We thank thee, O Lord, that in past time past, some of us did have the privilege to know thy truth, and yet we rebelled against thee, and we provoked thee. But thou wast merciful. Thou showed grace. Thou showed love. Thou redeemed us. And even when we did backslide, O Lord, thou didst work in our hearts. And although we were chastened, and we thank thee, O Lord, for the chastisement we are to receive. We were restored. We're back in the right path. And I pray, O Lord, that if anyone today is there, if anyone here has a secret sin, besetting sin, that thou wouldst deliver him or her from it. We pray also, Lord, that thou wouldst bless this church as they gather every Lord's Day in Dublin to be a witness for Christ and the truth, that they will be able to reach others in this city with the gospel of grace, that they will have the joy to see souls saved. We pray that thou will continue to encourage them and strengthen them. Lord, we prepare our hearts as we endeavor to spend this day in meditation and in praise, in consideration of what we learned. Lord, may thy word be in the hearts of these friends. And Lord, if I preached in my accent or English has not been good, may they oversee that, Lord. And may only thy word be in their hearts and Christ be their focus. And these things we ask, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let's just quietly get ready for the Lord's table. And we'll readjust the chairs. We'll readjust the chairs in the center. So we'll just quietly get ready as we prepare for the Lord's table.